Back to the Jason Big Joe Show live at the Omni Nashville Hotel, downtown Nashville. Right on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by the Omni Nashville Hotel. Chase yes. McCabe on vacation. Dr. Crane with us. Normally at Friday at 1 o'clock, but we love this man so much. We're off tomorrow. We said, let's bring it up a day early. Welcome to the show, our good friend, forever tight receiver, Chris Sanders. Chris, how are you, buddy?
Man, I'm doing good, man. It's hot as fish grease out here, but I'm actually doing good, man.
Right. First off, condolences to your mother-in-law. Very yes. sorry about your loss, man.
Man, it's funny because we talked yesterday, and we just got to celebrate people while they're here live. And my mother, Valerie Watersmith, she was an amazing woman. She was feisty. She'll fight you. But, man, at the end of the day, man, she was one of the special people in my life.
You know, I hate it because, you know, it's all part of life and saying goodbye to somebody. Yeah. I hate it. But Sunday night, Dr. Crane and I had the opportunity to interview Shaquille O'Neal. Great. It was a great interview. And at the very end, I said, Shaq, anything else you want to tell the crowd? And, Chris, he said, tell people you love them. Because
wow,
he said, I never got to tell Kobe Bryant that
come
I
on,
loved
man.
Him. And that's what he said, you know, Sunday night.
You know, and it's wild, too, because it's the anniversary of, Steve McNair in a couple of more days. And they asked me the same question. What could I have done different when I had a relationship with Steve McNair?
Yeah.
So much on all this other, we focus so much on all this other stuff about cover two and cover three and all that crazy stuff. But at the end of the day, tell the loved ones that you love them because you never know what might happen.
Yeah, that's right. And Shaq said he had a sister that had got cancer pretty quickly, and she passed away. He's like, you know, I was mourning her, and I never told her that I loved her. I never told her before that I loved her. He's like, so always tell people any chance you get that you love them. And he said he'll forever regret not telling Kobe how much he loved him.
I called you yesterday, and I tell D-Mace this all the time. I haven't told him this in a while, and chasing these guys. I just call you guys periodically just to tell you how much I care about you because you just never know, man, because life is so valuable to be gone. So we just take the time out to tell the ones you love them and say you care about them. It just takes 5 seconds.
Well, you know, it's crazy. Every sport you play, there's a bond. You play baseball, you play basketball, there's a bond. But the football bond yeah. is the one I know best. And, Chris, we were talking about Chris Johnson today and what he's going
yeah.
through now. And he talked about all these teammates reached out to him.
Wow.
And there's just this bond when you sweat with the guy and you right. celebrate with the guy, when you cry with the guy, there's that bond that's there forever. So it's good to hear how many people have reached out to talk to him and help him out. But that's what it's all about, right? That's why we play this. We play the sport to win. But it's also you play the sport because you become brothers with people.
Yeah. But, you know, the funny part about it, the crazy part about it is why do we reach out when something bad happens? You know what I'm saying? That's where I want to get better at because, yeah, I love that guys are reaching out and, you know, care about them and sit in ass. But why do we wait till somebody has ALS or die of cancer or go through a tragedy? Why don't we take the time out and say we love them? It's funny because yesterday – I ain't talked to Eddie George probably in about 6 months, but I called him yesterday and just told him how much I love him. Like, he called me back, whatever, whatever. We talked for about an hour just about football and everything. Tell him how much you love him and how much you care about him. We was in tears, man, because we actually love each other.
We're on the line here with Chris Sanders, forever Titans wide receiver. Chris, you hit the nail on the head, man. I'm the same way. I know I didn't play football at the NFL level, but obviously high school football is where everybody stays grounded. You're a coach at NBA. You probably keep in touch with a lot of those players. It just – there's something about the football camaraderie, especially in the locker room. You're just – obviously you spend a lot of time with these guys
yeah.
left and right every single day of the summer, basically more time away from your family than you are hanging with your family. There's just a special bond when it comes to stuff like that.
I mean, it's a brotherhood, and we say that, and we kind of throw it around like it's kind of like a handkerchief. But at the end of the day, when you talk about brotherhood, it's sweating, it's crying together, it's laughing together, it's going through the trials together, it's going to where when we moved in Memphis, we got booed, and then we come to Vanderbilt, we get booed, and then we go to the Super Bowl, and we celebrate something together, and it just makes it better when you go through the grind, when you go through the disappointments, when you go through the tears, when you go through the sweats, when you go to two a day. Away from you was gone, and it just hurts.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. Yeah, Chris, kind of when it comes to the, I guess, off season. Now the Titans are still waiting to come back for training camp.
Yeah,
you feel how hot it is outside.
It's hot as fish grease out here.
exactly. How difficult was it when you came back? Obviously, you were probably in shape because you had to be ready for training camp. But how difficult was it just to get back in the swing of things?
It wasn't hard because at these 40 days or these 20 days that these guys have off, and I had off when I played, is I made sure I was prepared. So when I first got drafted, I was in Houston, and Houston is like way hotter than this. So what I did is I prepared myself. I did my sprints in the sun. I did everything to where I was acclimated to when I get to camp, I'm ready. So when I got to camp, it was like riding a bike because I already prepared. So you got guys that have a couple of weeks off. You have to be a professional. You have to run sprints. You have to study your playbook. You have to do the things as a professional. So when you get in camp, you're absolutely ready, not getting ready when you get into camp.
What was did you always make your condition? What was the conditioning test like when you played?
Hated it. It was a 300-meter shuttle.
Explain that for those who don't know what meters are, like me.
Awful. I mean, it was a 300-meter shuttle, and I don't care how good a shape you in, it still hurt. But at the end of the day, when I got to my second and third one, because we actually had to run four, I made it with ease because I was prepared. But at the end of the day, when you do the conditioning test, it was hard, it was hot, it was sweaty, and, you know, guys not making it, guys throwing up. But I was prepared, so that's why I made, you know, the quota.
And you also had to do that in the Texas heat, so that's a whole different heat, right?
With pads on. And, you know, I mean, just imagine that. Just imagine being in Houston, but we had camp at Trinity, and it's even hotter to where – it was funny. This is a weird thing, is when I went to camp, I weighed 191, and this is a two-story. I left camp weighing 169.
Good Lord.
Because I sweat so much. I'm like walking to dinner sweating and walking to different places, losing like 3 or 4 pounds. I went in there weighing 190-something, leaving 169. That's how hot it was.
So that was – so I guess now we had your coach Fisher on a few weeks ago and talked about the conditioning. He's like, now the time is limited that when you come to camp, you better be in shape because they don't have time to worry about you failing conditioning test.
You can't – listen, first of all, if I'm a veteran, if I'm a leader, I'm not going to come in out of shape. And the thing about it is, we always talk about guys being a professional, guys doing their job 110%. It's not just, you know, just doing it while the coaches are looking. It's what you're doing behind the scenes. If I have this little time off and I'm sitting there going to the beach and, you know, I'm eating a whole bunch of Twinkies and, you know, not doing sprints, and then I get all of a sudden I get into camp and I can't finish – you know, a practice, that's a bad news. It's kind of like the situation with Traydon Burks. And he came back, but he had a situation where he came into camp and he was out of shape. So he couldn't even finish the practice. You can't come into camp like that. You got to come in ready and ready for camp.
Which gives me my favorite Bum Phillips line of all time. When Earl Campbell couldn't finish his mile run, and somebody said, "Coach, what are you going to do about Earl Campbell not finishing his mile run?" And Bum Phillips said, "Well, when it's third and a mile, I'm not going to give him the ball." It's like, yes,
yeah.
Such a great line.
But you know what's so wild is when I trained with Eddie George, have you noticed that he never missed a game? Even when he was hurt and had a turf toe or had rib, anything that he never missed a game. You know the reason why he never missed a game?
Because he's superhuman?
Because he was superhuman, but he prepared like he wasn't going to miss a game. Like when we were at TSU, everybody went to go eat and go to chow hall and do their things. He's out there running sprints and lifting weights while we're asleep. That's why he's the best. That's why he's going to be a Hall of Famer, and that's why he's in the Ring of Honor. Why? Because he prepared to be the best.
Absolutely. NFL Network came out with the top 100 players, and I'm going to take some heat for this. I don't care. I hate the top 100 list because you can't compare a quarterback to a safety, to an offensive tackle, to a full. You can't. Jeffrey Simmons comes in at number 83, which people are like, how is he 83? But if you break down the individual positions, that dude is top in the NFL. So I don't care if he's 83rd, 9th, or not on the list. We know what Jeffrey Simmons is.
Yeah, but you got to understand, it's the top 100. It's not just out of 100 people. So even though he's 83, that means he's still the best of the best. But I agree with you. I think this is my opinion. I think he's a top 20 player. And the reason why he's a top 20 player, because he impacts the game. I mean, you have the list that's before him. I know you have Jamar Chase. You have different guys like that impact the game. But here's the deal. Jeffrey Simmons impacts the game at his position because you got to be aware of him. You make offenses nervous, and I think he's a top 20 player.
Chris Sanders online with us. Chris, I may have asked you this before. If I have, please stop me. But when it comes to the wide receivers in the NFL, at a broader scheme here, Brandon Ayuk, another player that it just seems to have some off the field issues, and obviously trying to find a trade partner. It doesn't seem like San Francisco is going to be his future. If you could sit in a room with him, what would you tell him just to get back on the right track?
Say all those things. And
he's on that cricket phone.
Yeah, you got to put more minutes on it.
Hey, Brando, we have can you call Chris back if you don't mind, Chris?
Yeah,
hold on. We're going to reconnect with you, Chris, so don't go anywhere. We're not going to take a break either.
Yeah.
Listen, Chris will be right back with us. But the Simmons thing, I don't like the list. I don't like because you
at
can't
number 83.
You can't compare everything to that.
Yeah.
Break it down individual positions, right? That's why I always have trouble. He's the greatest football player of all time. No, he's not. He's the greatest at that position of all time. Right, I think Anthony Munoz is the greatest left tackle of all time.
Okay.
All time, right? So, but he's not the best football player of all time.
Sure.
He's that position's best player of all time. So, I'm not a big fan of all the big lists and all. And I get it's summertime. We talk about it and everything goes on.
You know, if you look at the top 100 in the NFL, more than likely the top 10 are going to be all quarterbacks.
Yes, I get it.
It's a quarterback-driven league. I understand that, but it is what it is. Chris, as I was kind of mentioning you before you lost connection there, for a guy like Brandon Ayuk.
That was my cricket phone.
That's all right. We'll put more minutes on after we get off. When it comes to Ayuk, like, what would you say to him in a room? If it was just you and him in a room with, I don't know, a couple lights, what are you telling the guy?
You know, what I would say to him is take advantage of what you have now because you're never going to respect it until it's gone. So right now you're saying some things that you shouldn't say and having an attitude that you're this and you're that. But when it's taken away, you're going to wish you were in this opportunity again. So what I would do is I would sit him down and say, listen, let's come up with a game plan to make whatever team you go with better. But when you go to that team, don't disrespect the other team because you never know. One day you might want a coaching job, and you might ask them for a job, but they'll remember what you did and not hire you. So just take the time out and just make the right decisions. Talk to people with respect because you never know when you might need them.
Yeah, to that point, Chris, you know, when Joe was interviewing Shaquille O'Neal this past week, and correct me if I'm wrong, Joe, if I misstate this, but he was asked about just the respect factor these players may have for the league. He said none of them have the respect of the game. Are you starting to see that a little bit in the NFL?
Yeah, because the thing about it is it's not a bad thing to want to get a big paycheck, absolutely. But if your love for the game is just to get a paycheck as opposed to the love for the game, then that's going to fizzle out. So when these young guys that are coming in, make sure you love the game. Make sure you love being coached. Make sure you love those things because if you love the money more than the game, all of a sudden you're going to find yourself out of the game with nothing left. So that's what these young guys got to understand. Yeah, you want a big payday. Yeah, you want to get a big NIL deal, which is great. But don't lose the desire. Don't lose the hunger to be the best athletes ever. So that's what it is.
And, Chris, that's why people like you are so special in high school football. Because you're basically the Nick Sabans of the world trying to instill the – I'm not saying Nick Saban exactly, but I'm just saying in general what they tried to instill in those players before the NIL era.
Yeah.
This is football. Yeah. Do you really love it or do you hate it? If you don't like it, get on out of the program. Once you get to college, it's all about how much money can I make. And I feel like college is preparing these players for the business side of the NFL and not for the actual game itself.
Yeah, but see, the thing is, what do you want to develop and become? Do you want to become just a guy that just makes a lot of money? Or do you want to develop into a great man, a great husband, a great father, a great human being? Because at the end of the day, you know what the NFL stands for? It stands for not for long. Because at the end of the day, your career is going to end, but the person that you got to live with is going to go beyond what it is. So I love coaching kids. All I do is when I sit down and I mentor these kids, I tell them all the mistakes I made. Because sometimes we as coaches, we wear the badge like we've never blown it. So now if I can teach these young guys the mistakes that I made, so now they don't make the same mistakes that I made. And then on the flip side, I get to teach everything that a Les Steckel and a Steve Waters taught me how to be a wide receiver and inject my DNA to them and go out and start crushing teams. That's what makes me excited.
Talking to Chris Sanders on the Chase and Big Joe Show. Chris, the calm before the storm, I guess Monday the football starts back up for high schools?
Oh, yes, and it is going to be hot as fish grease. We start on Monday. We start installing a lot of our plays and stuff like that. And then on the week after that, we start getting to 7-on-7. And then that next week, we start two-a-days. And that's when it gets fun and grimy and dirty. And I am so excited, brother.
You were such an explosive and good receiver in the National Football League. Could you ever coach DBs?
I don't like them from one thing. I don't like those guys. But, yeah, I could coach DBs because as a receiver, you have to have the mentality of a defensive back because you got to know what they're doing. And I love the tenacity. I went against some great DBs like Blaine Bishop, Marcus Robertson, Stevie Jackson, D. Lou, all those guys that were really good. So, yeah, I would love to coach defensive backs because the mentality that you have to have that I'm about to punch somebody in the mouth on the field, not off the field.
Yeah. Blaine ever hit you one good time? You're like, I'm going to avoid that side of the field?
No, Marcus Robinson did that on the first day of practice, and I'm like, what in a Sammy Hill is going on? Because, you know what I'm saying, my face mask twisted to the side, my mouth guard was on the track. I wasn't going to talk stuff because he's bigger than me. But a funny story with me and Blaine Bishop, the first day of practice, he called me out in one-on-one. He's like, oh, I heard you pretty fast at Ohio State, whatever, whatever. So I ran a post against him, and I blasted him for about 15 yards. He said, you know what? I'm never going to go against him in one-on-one again. True story.
Because those little cute little bow legs couldn't keep up with you, right?
No. Could you imagine running trying to catch me on a post route when he's bow-legged like that? That's a
I will tell you, though, I've seen a lot of big hits in my life. When he broke his forearm, when he hit, I guess it was Farrell Edmonds of the Raiders.
Yes, yes.
At the first game at the Liberty Bowl. And
yes.
It was in the end zone, and he said, I think I broke my arm, and he got back in the huddle. And we were like, what the hell is going on here with this guy?
But he's one of those teammates that you love to hate, that he's on your team. You're like, yay, Blaine. But if he's on the other side, you're like, man, get up out of here. True story. We're at the Super Bowl, and we're doing a walkthrough. This is a day and a half before the Super Bowl. And him and Derek Mason about to get in the fight and walk through. So I was like, what are we doing? And we had to stop practice because D-Mace and Blaine Bishop was going to get in the fight. But they made up and laughed afterwards. But that's how crazy Blaine was. But he's a great teammate. But if I was on the opposite team, I'd be like, man, I want to fight you every day.
Oh, that's awesome. Hey, man, thank you. Tell your
you
wife, man.
Welcome.
Give us our heart to your wife and your family for the loss. And we love you, brother. Thank you for everything.
Hey, I love you, too. Always. Thank you all so much. Okay, bye-bye.
Appreciate it, Chris.
Chris Sanders, could you imagine being – how good would be coached by Chris Sanders?
It'd be pretty cool.
But, I was fortunate, and you did, too, had some great coaches. But they never told me about their journey, right?
Yeah.
When Chris is saying, look, here's what I did and screwed up. Don't do this is pretty special, right?
Yeah, I mean, I had one coach that kind of stood out of all of them, and he just had a different path with football, and that was Corey Stewart. He's now still coaching here in the metro area. But he played in Germany, played, D3, played all over the place. Like, he was a true defensive back, played for the Nashville Venom back in the day. Like, he played all over the place and then became a football coach, Ryan grad, along with, coaching elsewhere is just – a good thing to see. I mean, my offensive coordinator and offensive line coach, my freshman through junior year, Coach Williams.
He
played at Georgia Southern. And
he did.
He was a part of the Wing T, and, it was fantastic.
Wing T's bad. I'm not saying the word again.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, we'll take another break. We'll come back. We're live at the Omni Nashville Hotel at Bar Lines. Come on, see. It feels great in here, so don't worry about the heat. We're here until 3 o'clock today. This is the Chase and Big Joe Show, 102.5 The Game.